Okay. Okay, thanks again, everybody, for coming. And thank you, Reb Ezra, for hosting the meeting and for posting the Maamar Mekaymes. I just wanted to add something to last week's shiur. So I have the schus and the nachas. One of my sons, my second son, Nassim Nata, he listens to my shiur in Eretz Yisrael. So we mentioned during that shiur that you can ask a non-Jew to turn the hot water on Shabbos. So the question was asked, if a non-Jew turns the hot water on, or for that matter, if the hot water was left on, or if a Jew accidentally turns on the hot water, so is there an issue with turning it off? So at the time, so I said that whatever water entered the tank already entered, so there wouldn't be an issue in turning it off. So my son mentioned that he saw a Mara Mukum, if the water was on for a significant amount of time, and all the hot water is draining out of the boiler, so then there might be an issue of turning off the tap, because then you're keeping the water in the tank that will now it will be accelerated the heating process because of the fact that you're no longer letting more cold water in. So there are some poskim who dispute that, but some poskim can point out that there might be an issue of kiruv, of being a karev the bishul, of accelerating the cooking process if you would turn off the water, if the water was running for a significant amount of time, that the new water coming in is already not being heated immediately and the water left in the boiler is not as hot as it was before. But if the tap was only turned on for a few minutes, so then what I said last week was that any water that already entered the tank is already as hot as it will get. So it could depend on how long the hot water was turned on. Okay, Yashika, so it's a nachas to be able to say over something from my son. Okay, tonight's topic is the topic of dan lekapschus, judging other people favorably. And it's actually very appropriate for Elul and for Rosh Hashanah, that a good chodesh, everybody. It should be a chodesh of tshuva and preparation for Rosh Hashanah, because the Gemara tells us that if a person judges others favorably, so then they look favorably upon him. Hashem looks favorably upon us, because mida keneged mida, and Hashem judges us easier as well. So this mida, this skill, this learning, getting into practice, having this habit of judging other people favorably, will actually be a schus in the upcoming din, haba aleinu l'toyva. So let's first start with the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, B'tzedek tishpoit amisecha. So this is in Vayikra Perek Yutes Pasuk Tes Vav. It's Parshas Kedoshim. The Pasuk says, B'tzedek tishpoit amisecha. You should judge your amisecha. You should judge your nation justly, with tzedek, righteously. So the simple translation, it's referring to a judge. So the Gemara tells us that the simple translation, the first translation, the first explanation is Shaloy Yehei Echad Yoshev Yechad Oymed Echad Medaber Kol Tzorchev Yechad Oymed Loi Katzer Divarecha. So imagine a scenario when two litigants come before a judge. So the judge is grouchy and strict to one, and to the other he's gracious and kind. So he says to one of them, you can sit, take a seat. And to the other person he says, you got to stand up. Or to one person he says, sure, tell me your story, tell me your side of the case, your side of the story. And to the other person he says, make it quick, right? So obviously he's favoring one party over the other from the very beginning. And the Mefarshim explain, Rashi says there, that besides the judge favoring one over the other, but the one who's unfavored sort of gets intimidated, and now he can't even articulate his side of the story properly, because he feels like he lost the case from the very beginning, that the whole court case is rigged. So, B'tzedek tishpoit amisecha, the Pasuk tells us, it's speaking to the judge, that you have to judge both litigants favorably, and you have to give them equal treatment. So that's the story with the judge. But then the Gemara goes on, Davar Acher, the Gemara says another explanation in this same Pasuk, B'tzedek tishpoit amisecha, you have to judge your nation with righteousness. So really, it's speaking to each and every one of us, having done is chavercha lekapschus, that you have to judge your friend. Now, I want to just put on the burden, I want to put out there, you should judge your friend lekatzos. So remember that key word, your friend. And we'll see the significance of that lashon soon. You should judge your friend lekatzos favorably. You should tilt the scale in his favor. Now this halacha is brought in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In other words, this is not just a drush. This is not just some homiletic explanation of the pasuk. This is actually codified by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs, mitzvah Kuf Ayin Zayin. After he brings the mitzvah of the judges, like the Gemara does at first, that's obviously the simple explanation of the pasuk, the first layer of understanding that you have to, it's speaking to the judge, you have to judge the two litigants equally. But then the Rambam says, quote, the yesh by oid, there's another understanding in this pasuk, sheroi loden es chaver halakapstos, that it's proper, it's fitting to judge your friend favorably. So it's speaking again to each and every one of us, like it says in the Gemara, and the Rambam brings it as one of the mitzvahs, that clearly it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, we're biblically commanded to judge our friends favorably. Now, just another source, it says, it's also brought lahalacha in the Sefer Shari Tshuva l'Rabbeinu Yoina. So the Rabbeinu Yoina wrote a beautiful Sefer. He's one of the early Rishonim in the 12 or 1300s. He wrote a Sefer Shari Tshuva. The first part of the Sefer is an inspirational Sefer, motivating us, inspiring us to do tshuva. Many people learn this Sefer, the Shari Tshuva, the Gates of Repentance. Many people learn this Sefer during Elul. Some people learn it all year round in preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It gives us inspiring messages and Musar, how to do tshuva. In the third Shar, in the third part portion of the Sefer, Shar Gimel, in Simen Reish Yud Ches, so he actually, in that Shar, in that gate, in that section of the Sefer, he goes through all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the common mitzvahs that people might be nechshol. So he writes there, also, Vihine, this is a quote from this Sefer Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yoina, one of the early Rishonim. It says in the Sefer, Kisira Ada, if you ever see a person, Asher Yedaber Dover, that he says something, or Yasa Maisa, or he does something, and the observer could either judge the actions of this person, he can incriminate the person, he can assume the person did something wrong. In other words, the person did something questionable, and the onlooker, the observer, is faced with a choice. He can either judge the person critically, or he can judge him, he can judge him favorably. Now, judging favorably means you can come up with a way to understand that what he did was 100% correct, or you can even introduce mitigating factors. The Mefarshim explain, even if it's impossible to justify what the person did, but we could perhaps in our own minds introduce mitigating factors why it's not as bad as it looks. Maybe we don't know the whole story. Maybe the person didn't realize the severity of his actions. Maybe the person didn't realize that the words that he said would be taken that way, would be as offensive as they came out, as they turned out to be. So the Rabbeinu Yoina gives us some actual on-the-ground rules. Imhu ishahu yari elokim, if the person in question is a God-fearing individual who is usually tries to do the right thing, nischayeves loden oso lekapskos al derech enes. So we're obligated to judge the person favorably in our own minds, al derech emes. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, al derech emes means that it has to be true. In other words, we have to literally convince ourselves in our own minds to whatever justification we came up with, we have to convince ourselves that that's indeed the case. And we have to vindicate this person in our own minds. We see an upstanding person, an upright person, doing something that's questionable, and we have ways of either justifying what he did, or at least, at the very least, mitigating what he did. We have to convince ourselves that that's indeed the case, and we have to walk away from that situation convinced that the person did not do anything wrong, or it's not as bad as it seemed as first. That's if the person is a Yari Elokim, is an upstanding, God-fearing individual. Gam ki yadover kora v'noite yoser etzul hadas l'katoiva. Even if at first glance, the first impression, it's more likely that it was something wrong than something right or something mitigated, nevertheless, we have to push ourselves to come up and to justify that person. V'yemhu min ha-beinonim. Imagine if he's not a person who's an outstanding, who's a unique individual. Let's say he's just a beinoni. He's an average person like most of us. How do we define an average person? Now, all of this is just perception because we don't really know who's really righteous and who's really average, right? All of this is just our perception of another person. So, imhu min ha-beinonim, if the person is an average person, appears to be an average person, we know him as just being a normal guy. Asher yizaru min ha-chet, that he's careful when it comes to not sinning. Upa'omim yikashu l'bay, but it's possible the person sinned. Sometimes he sins. He tries to do the right thing, but sometimes he sins. He's an average person. Still, says the Rabbeinu Yoina, yesh alef alahatois ha-safik, we have to still tilt the doubt, ulachriu lekapschus, and we have to decide in our own minds and tilt the scale favorably. So the Rabbeinu Yoina does not go as far to say that if the person is an average person, then even if it appears he did something wrong, and it's more likely he did something wrong, but I have to push myself to make it that he did something right. That's when it comes to a tzaddik. But if it's an average person and it's equal 50-50, we have to, in that case, we have to force ourselves to come up with a justification and decide in our own minds that the person was right. As it says, and this is all a quote from the Rabbeinu Yoina, like it says, Rabbi Seinu Zal, our sages say, Hadan es chaveru lekapskus, one who judges his friend lekapskus, he tilts the scale favorably in his friend's merit. Hamakom yadineu lekapskus, Hashem will judge us also lekapskus, he'll judge us favorably. V'hi mitzvus asei min ha-Torah, and this is a positive commandment from the Torah, Shenemar, as it says, B'tzedek tishpoit amisecha, as it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, like we've quoted from the Gemara and from the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yoina says the same thing. It's codified as being a mitzvah de'oraisa, that we have to judge our friend favorably. If the person has the status of a tzaddik, that means that our perception of the person is that he always does the right thing, he generally does the right thing, then we have to judge him favorably, even if it's more likely that he did something wrong. If the person is an average person, sometimes he does something right, sometimes he does something wrong, we still have a mitzvah to judge the person favorably if at least it's 50-50. And says the Rabbeinu Yoina, we're going to see the Gemara about this in a moment, anybody who trains himself to acquire this midah, this attribute, this habit of judging other people, this attitude, I should say, of judging other people, lekapschus, so Hashem will judge us also, lekapschus. Now, one time I remember speaking about this, so someone brought up the obvious question that, well, why are you judging others altogether? So that might be a question like, who authorized you to judge other people in the first place? We're saying that you shouldn't judge them critically, you should judge them favorably. Who made you a judge in the first place? But the answer to that, I think, is very simple, that we're constantly judging people all the time. This is happening regardless. This is happening whether we like it or not. Every time we see someone do something, we're always deciding in our own minds if we agree with what the person did or if we disagree with the person did. And if we see people in an argument, we automatically take sides. If we see someone do something questionable, we see somebody walk into a McDonald's, or we'll see stories in the Gemara where at first glance, it seems that the person did something wrong. So we're going to judge that person whether we like it or not. So the Torah gives us a mitzvah. We have to judge the person favorably. And we'll see as we go along the reasons that the Mefarshim offer and suggest for this mitzvah. This mitzvah is not unlike don't be jealous of your friend, right? That a person might naturally be jealous, but there is a mitzvah not to be jealous, and the Mefarshim give us techniques how we can try to to uproot the jealousy with our emunah that everybody has what's coming to them. There are techniques and there are certain things that we can tell ourselves to make it easier not to be jealous. And the same thing applies to judging others. We're constantly judging other people, regardless. Whatever we see, we always formulate in our own minds an opinion. And the Torah actually gives us a mitzvah that we're formulating our opinions about others anyway. So the Torah actually gives us a mitzvah and encourages us to formulate a positive opinion about other people. I saw that we're jumping a little bit, but I saw that Rav Dessler says that this mitzvah, what is the driving force behind this mitzvah? The driving force behind this mitzvah is really v'ohavta v'reacha kamoicha, that we have to love our friend as ourselves. If we truly feel for our friends, so then it'll be much easier to see them in a positive light. And even if they do something questionable, in our own minds, we can soften, so to speak, our impression, and we can loosen up our impression because of our love to that person. And the same thing it goes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging us, that when I see someone do something questionable and I'm being encouraged to use my imagination to try to come up with a justification, how does that apply to Hashem? Hashem, He doesn't have to have an imagination of what we did. He knows exactly from the very beginning, probably better than we do, what our motivation was and whether what we did was right or wrong. So how can we say that if we judge other people carefully and we judge other people favorably, that Hashem will judge us favorably? But again, it's the attitude of loving our friends and sort of formulating a positive impression and trying to see everything in context. And if we have that midah, Hashem will judge us also favorably, even if He knows exactly that what we did was wrong, but it'll be more as an attitude out of love rather than an attitude of strict justice. Now, there are some fascinating Gemaras. The Gemara gives us a few stories of how extreme people push themselves to judge others favorably. And the Gemara gives us this bracha that anybody who judges his friend favorably, Hashem will judge him as well favorably. So the Gemara is a Gemara in Shabbos, on Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, some famous stories. Tan Rabban, Hadon Chaveroi L'Kapschus, somebody who judges his friend favorably, Donin Osolishus, so in Shemayim, Hashem judges that person favorably. And the Gemara gives us now three stories. Story number one, Maisa Ba'odom Echad, there's a story with a person, it doesn't say who the person was, Sheyorad Migolil He'elyoi, that he came down from the upper Galilee, the Niskar Eitzel Balabayas, and he hired himself out as a worker, as a common worker, for a Balabayas Echad Vedorim, some Balabayas in the south, the southern region, Shalash Shonim, and he was working for 3 years. So he left his family, his wife and children behind, and he went to work to raise money to support his family for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippurim, so I guess the third year, one Erev Yom Kippur, mamish before Yom Kippur, Omerlo. So he said to his employer, Tein li schari, please pay me for the 3 years worth of work, ve'elech ve'ezen es ishti yobanai, and I'll go and I'll support my wife and children. Omerlo. So his employer said to him, Ein li mos, I don't have any money. Omerlo, Tein li peiris. So the worker, so very generously suggested, so don't give me money, even though I'm entitled to money, I deserve money, but give me fruit, give me produce. Armaloi, Ainli, I don't have any produce. Tainli Karka, so give me a piece of land, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Maybe I can sell the land and I can get some money, maybe I can take a mortgage out on the land, I can open a line of credit on the land, and I'll be able to raise some cash quickly to support my family, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Ainli, I don't have any land. Tainli Behema, give me an animal. Ainli, I don't have an animal. Tainli Karabuksasis, so give me just some pillows and blankets, mattresses, blankets that you have. Give me anything from your household. Give me just some normal housewares, and I'll have the metalkalin. Ainli, I don't have anything. So Hifshul Kalev La'achurav, so this worker was Hifshul Kalev La'achurav. He bundled his meager belongings behind him. He's been working for the past 3 years. It's Erev Yom Kippur. He has to go home empty-handed to his family with nothing to offer them. He went home depressed or dejected. La'achar ha-regel, after the yomtif, so that probably means the regel is sukkis, after sukkis, not al balabayas, scharai biyadai, so the balabayas, the original employer, who was all the way back wherever that was in the southern region, he took the wages, bi'imoy masoi gimel chamoyrim, and he brought three donkeys laden with delicacies. Echad shel meichel, one donkey was laden with different foodstuffs. Echad shel mishteh, one donkey was laden with drinks, beverages. Echad shel minei migadim, delicacies. V'holach lo lebeisoi, and he came to the house of his dejected worker. Achar she'ochlo v'shasoi, after he ate and drank. So I don't think he was giving him like ribbis, right? After all, he owed him money, so you're not allowed to give extra. He probably was doing this because he feels like he offended him, and he needs to make this party, this feast, to sit together to try to appease his worker. Tein lo schara, he gave him wage. So now the employer sits back and he says honestly, he says sincerely to his worker. Omer lo bishosho marti li tein li schara. So tell me the truth. When I said to you, when you said to me, give me my wage, v'yomarti, and I said to you, ein li mois, I don't have any money, b'mech hashatani, what did you suspect? Did you really believe I didn't have any money? Or did you think I was just withholding your wage? Omarti, so this simple worker said, shema pragmatia bezul, nizdam nalach, I really believed you that you didn't have any cash on hand. Maybe all of a sudden the merchandise went down. Maybe the stocks all of a sudden went down. The market crashed. And maybe you bought a lot of stocks with whatever cash you had on hand. Maybe you put it into some sort of bond and the money was no longer available. And maybe you used all the cash on hand for that quick business deal. Okay, the employer said, okay, that's nice that you believe me about that. When you said to me, give you an animal, and I said to you, I don't have any animals, what did you suspect? Omarti, so the worker says, shema muskeres biyada cherim, maybe your animals were all hired out, rented out to others. Maybe I really believed you when you said you didn't have any animals, even though I know that you're a wealthy employer, but I really believed maybe your animals were not accessible at that time. Bishosho martili tamely karka. When you said give you land, martili karka, and I said I don't have land, what did you suspect? Omarti, the worker said the same thing. Shema muhkeres biyadacher, maybe the land was leased to others, and I really believed you when you said that your land wasn't available. When I told you I didn't have fruit, what did you suspect? Maybe the fruit wasn't tithed, right? So I saw the Mefarshim explain that it was Erev Yom Kippur. There was no time to tithe the produce. Sometimes the Gemara says that there weren't any kalim available, and I wasn't able to tithe the produce. I guess the reason why he didn't give the produce to the worker untithed and let the worker himself tithe the produce was because the worker was an Am Haaretz and the worker doesn't know how to tithe the produce. So you're not allowed to give your produce to an Am Haaretz if you suspect the Am Haaretz doesn't know how to tithe the produce. When I told you I don't even have any housewares, I didn't have pillows and blankets. But Mechashatani, what did you suspect? Omarti, so the worker innocently says, Shem Hiktish kol nechasav l'shamayim, perhaps you dedicated, you sanctified, you dedicated all of your property to the Beis HaMikdash, to Shemayim. Omar Lei, so the employer says, Ho avoida, that's a lashon of an oath. I swear by the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Kach hoya, that's exactly what happened. So that should be a nun. No darti kol nichsai b'shel hurkinis b'nish le'osak b'tayra. That very extreme. My son Hyrcanus was not learning Torah. He was like going off the path. So I wrote him out of my will and I sanctified all of my produce in, sort of as a threat to my son that he shouldn't get anything if he continues going off the path. But then I went to my colleagues in the south, Hitiruli Kol Nidri, and they were matir my neder. Rebbezer, we were just talking about being matir neder a moment ago. They were matir my neder, and at the end of the story was that Hurkanes, this son Hurkanes, became a big Talmud Chacham. They were matir the father's neder. Beato and you, Kishem Shedantani Lischus, Hamokum Yodin Oiska Lischus. Just as you judge me favorably, so Hashem should judge you favorably. A beautiful story, a simple worker who was an Ama Oretz judged his employer favorably, and indeed he turned out to be right, and he got the blessing of judging favorably. It's a tremendous schus for me to be able to say over something from my father. My father Shlita told me that he saw, and I actually looked it up, I saw in the Maratzchia springs from the She'iltis of Rabbi Choy that this employee was none other than the great Rabbi Akiva, who was working for Rabbi Lozer ben Hurkanes, and at this time, this was before Rabbi Akiva became the famous Rabbi Akiva, he was still an Ama Oretz, and he was Dan, his employer, Lekapschus, and Hashem judged him favorably, Lekapschus, and we know the rest is history, how great this Rabbi Akiva, how Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, how he became. So this is the first story of judging someone, Lekapschus. There's another Maisa on the same daf in the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, there's another Maisa. Maisa b'chassid echad, there's a story of a pious individual, Shepad Riva Achas Bas Yisrael, that he ransomed, he redeemed a girl. A girl was kidnapped. He raised the money, and he went and he redeemed the girl that was kidnapped. A Bas Yisrael. He redeemed the girl that was kidnapped. Ulamalain, so on the way home, he was bringing the girl home back to her parents. So on the way home, they stopped over in a lodgings, in a hotel, a motel, some lodgings on the road along the way home. Heshkiva tachas margaloisa. So the Rebbe, the Chassid, so he didn't rent a private room for the girl. He brought the girl into his own room, and he put her by the foot of the bed. He laid her down by the foot of the bed. Lamachar, the next day, the next morning, Yorad Vitova, the Chassid, the great Chassid, he asked to go to the mikvah. Now we know that there's a halachot, we had it in Maseches Brachos, that there's a Takanas Ezra, after a man has a nocturnal emission, so he has to go to the mikvah before he either davens or learns Torah. Nowadays, this takana fell into disuse. We don't normally have this. Some chassidim go to the mikvah every day, but it's no longer a binding halacha. But this chassid was observing that halacha. It seems suspicious. It seems almost like a scandal. He went, he redeemed the girl. He put the girl in his own room. He didn't give her private room in the hotel. He rented a room, he kept her in his own room, kept her by the foot of the bed. The next morning, lo and behold, he asked where the local mikveh was, and then he went and he taught his talmidim. So Omer Lahen, so after he finished giving the shiur, he asked his talmidim, Bishoshesh hishkavtiha tachas margaloisa. After, at the time that I put her in my own room by the foot of my bed, Bamech hashatuni, what did you suspect? So Amru, so all the Talmidim, they all said, innocently, Shema yesh banu Talmid she'enu baduk l'Rebbe. Maybe the reason why you didn't give the girl her own room was because maybe you don't know us. And since you don't know us, maybe you were afraid to leave the girl unattended when there were so many boys around. Now, someone could ask, so isn't he not judging his Talmidim l'kafsvas? But he wasn't singling out any of the students. He was just saying that it's not a wise thing to do to leave a girl unattended when all the Talmidim, all the boys are around, without the girl attending. So now, Bishoshi Yoradati V'Tovalti. So what did you think when I went to the mikvah? Bamech HaShatuni, what did you suspect? So Omarnu, so all the students said, Shema Bipnei Torah, that should be a hey again. Maybe because of the Torah Haderach, maybe because of the weariness of travel, Erek Keri the Rebbe, so maybe Rebbe had a nocturnal emission, an accidental emission, and obviously we didn't suspect that it had anything to do with the girl. Omer Lahem, so the Chassid said to his students, Ho'avoida, He swore by the service of the Beis HaMikdash, Kach Hoya, that's exactly what happened. V'yatem and you, Kishem Shedamtuni Lekavskos, Hamokam Yodan Eskan Lekavskos, just as you judged me favorably, Hashem should judge you favorably. And finally, the third story, also another story, that a sensational story that seemed like a scandal. Tanu Rabbanan, Pam Achas, Hutzrich Dover Echa L'Tamidei Chachamim Eitzel Matshunisa Achas. It once occurred that the Talmidei Chachamim had to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people with some matron, by some noble woman. Matronisa, a non-Jewish noble woman. Achas shekol gdoili roimi mitzuyin etzla. This was a woman where all the great men of Rome would frequent her. Amru, they said, mi yelech, who has the guts, who has the courage to go and advocate our needs by this Roman matron? Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua, ani elech algo. Holach Rabbi Yeshua v'talmidav. Rabbi Yeshua went with his entourage. He's escorted with his talmidim. Kivin shegi lepesach beisa. When he gets to her house, cholat tfilav berochak arba amis. He removed his tefillin 4 cubits away. They used to wear tefillin all day. He removed his tefillin before entering the house. Benoal delas bifnehen. And he closed the door before them. In other words, he secluded himself with the woman. You have to know why wasn't it a shaila of Yichud. Achar sheyotza, after he left, yara v'tova. Same story. He asked where the local mikveh was, and he went and immersed himself. B'shan al tamidim, and he taught his students. He gave the class. Amar lahen, so then after the class, he said to his students, B'shosh shechalatzti tefillin. When I removed my tefillin, right, that seemed like it was a little suspicious. I'm removing my tefillin before I seclude myself with this Roman woman. But mecha shatuni, what did you suspect? Omarnu, they said, kesava rebi la yikantu dibre kedusha v'makam tuma. We didn't suspect anything at all. We understood that you're removing your tefillin because you don't want to enter with a woman's, this Roman non-Jewish woman, her domain, her residence, wearing the holy tefillin. You didn't want to desecrate the tefillin by bringing them into a unholy place. Vishoshin o alti b'mecha shatuni. What did you suspect? Why I closed the door? Omarnu, we said, Shemet dvar malchus yesh beinu elavino. Maybe you had to speak about some classified information, dvar malchus, some government matter, some classified information. You had to close the door. Bishoshi yoraditi betovalti b'mecha shatuni. So why? What did you suspect when I asked to go to the mikvah? Omarnu, we said, Shemet nitza tzinoira mipia al begadav shel rebi. Maybe some saliva, when the non-Jewish woman was speaking to you, maybe she sneezed, or maybe some saliva flew over and landed on your garments. And the halacha is that the spittle of a non-Jew is considered tamei, so perhaps that's why you had to immerse yourself. So again, Omer lehem u'avoida, he swore, Kachaya, that's exactly what happened. Bi'atem kishem shedantuni l'spus, hamokam yodan eskan l'spus, just like you came up with an explanation and you were right, so too Hashem should judge you favorably. And again, this, the students and the employee were all able to push themselves to judge their employer and their Rebbe favorably, all out of this midah of Dan Lekavzchus that they developed in themselves, the love and the respect of their Rebbe and of their fellow Jew, to be able to judge their fellow Jew favorably. These are beautiful stories, and they merit the bracha that Hashem should all judge us favorably. And this is a tremendous schus for the Yemei Elul and for the Yemei Hadin, Habo Aleinu L'Toyva. Now, it seems that there's a contradiction to all of this in the Rambam on Pirkei Avos. So we just said that the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not just a beautiful thing. It's more than that. It's actually a mitzvah. The Rambam brings it in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yoina codifies it in the Shari Tshuva. It's a bona fide mitzvah d'oraisa to judge our friend, our neighbor favorably, and especially to judge a tzaddik like the Rebbe or the Chassid favorably. There's a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So Mishnah Pirkei Avos Paragalef. The famous Mishnah, Havidonis Kol Ha'odam Lekavzchus. It says you should judge everyone favorably. The Rambam says, over there in his commentary, in Yonai, what this means is, if you see someone who you don't know him, you don't know if he's righteous, you don't know if he's wicked, and you see him do something, you see him say something, and you're faced with a choice. You can either explain what he did in a favorable way, or you can describe, you can explain to yourself what he did, and that in a critical way, and it can be bad. So says the Rambam, so take the good side, take the good explanation, and don't consider the bad explanation. So far, so good. But then the Rambam concludes there in his commentary, Ayin Soif Tvarev, look at the end of what the Rambam says, Tzorech b'derech ha-chasidus. The Rambam says that this is merely a derech chasidus. This is just a meritorious midah to judge the kapschus, eizek kotze shiyeh mishnei kitzvois, which either side it is in the story. And it's mashma from the Rambam that it's just a derech chasidus, and that it's not an obligatory mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's a blatant contradiction. The Gemara, the Rambam himself in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rabbeinu Yoina, all say that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to judge your friend favorably. And the Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayis, in his commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Havidan es kol adam mekapskos, the Mishnah says we should judge everyone favorably, and the Rambam starts off explaining that we should judge and we should explain his actions favorably, but he concludes that it's merely a midas chasidus, it's just a meritorious act, and he neglects to say that it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what's going on? And to compound the problem, the Rambam again, not just in the commentary, the Rambam says, somebody asked a good question, how do we reconcile this with the mitzvah of Ochiach Tochiach Zam Yisecha? So that's a very good question. This is an attitude how we should judge the person. So I once heard someone say that you wouldn't have to be Mochiach if you can judge the person favorably. Other people say that the two are not a contradiction. One is an attitude, and the other one was that you should just be Mochiachim. You should let the person know that it would be wrong to do this if I didn't judge you correctly. In other words, imagine you go to the person. Imagine the student would go to the Rebbe. We had when we talked about the mitzvah of teichach that applies to a Rebbe as well. Imagine if the students would approach the Rebbe. Rebbe, we don't think you did anything wrong, but obviously it would be forbidden to have relations with the girl that you redeemed, or it would be forbidden to have relations with the matron. It could be possible to reconcile that you can subtly give teichacha, even though you don't believe that's the case over here. So that's a very good point. Now the Rambam says in Yad Chazaka in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam is talking about the attributes of a Talmud Chacham. How should a Talmud Chacham behave in order to make a Kiddush Hashem? The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, that a Talmud Chacham lo yehei tzoyek b'tzovach b'shas diburei kebehemes u'bechayes. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't be loud. A Talmud Chacham should not be screaming through the street. A Talmud Chacham should speak in a reserved, refined manner, and he shouldn't stand out, he shouldn't be screaming in the street. He should never raise his voice. The Talmud Chacham, it's an attribute of a Talmud Chacham to speak calmly to everybody. Now, warns the Rambam, when you do speak calmly, sometimes a person is so calm that it appears as if he's aloof and as if he's sort of arrogant. So you have to walk the line that you never raise your voice as a Talmud Chacham, trying to make a Kiddush Hashem, trying to behave properly. But on the other hand, you can't give the impression that you're above everybody else and you're speaking down to people. The Rambam also says, Makdim Shalom Kol Adam, you should always be the one to greet everyone, that people should feel comfortable around you. These are all the attributes of a Talmud Chacham. And finally, the Rambam says, Don is kol adam nekapskus. You should judge everyone favorably. That's the attribute of a Talmud Chacham. Mesaper b'shvach chaveroi. Always speak of your friends' praises. Veno mesaper b'gnusoi klal. And never speak of anything derogatory. Oyev shalom. Roidev shalom. You should be a peacemaker. You should love peace. You should pursue peace. So again, it's mashma from the Rambam that he only counts the concept of judging your friend favorably as one of the midos, one of the attributes of a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't seem to call it, to refer to it as an obligatory mitzvah that's mutl on everyone. So these are the problems. The Rambam in the Pirish Mishnayos and the Rambam in the Yad Chazaka both seem to say that it's a midas chasidus. So actually, the Chafetz Chaim asks this question in the Ber Mayim Chaim, in his Psicha on Halacha Gimel. So the Chafetz Chaim says the following. After the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Sefer about Lashon Hara, and in the Ber Mayim Chaim, he writes that you have to judge other people favorably. He basically quotes Rabbeinu Yoina that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. In the note, in the Ber Mayim Chaim, he writes the following. He asks this question, and he gives us a very satisfactory answer. The Chafetz Chaim says, Al yitfois olai hakoyre lemor. So the reader who's reading what I wrote, the Chafetz Chaim is speaking about himself, that I claim that judging others favorably is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and that's what Rabbeinu Yoina says. So the reader should not stop me over the fact that the Rambam argues on Rabbeinu Yoina, the Rambam seems to say that judging other favorably is just a nice thing. It's an attribute. It's not an actual mitzvah. The Haraya, and all of this is what the Chafetz Chaim would anticipate somebody asking, because the Rambam writes, "Besoif ma'amaray in the Mishnah," and we quoted it earlier, that it's vidarkei chasidus. So says the Chafetz Chaim, "Ze'enoi." The Chafetz Chaim says that that's not what the Rambam means, and he gives us a very satisfactory answer. Because the Rambam there is speaking about an Adam She'ein Ani Makiro. The Rambam is speaking about when you don't know the person from Adam. You see a complete stranger, a Jew. You see a complete stranger in the street going into McDonald's or doing something questionable. Im Tzadik Im Rasha. Like the Rambam says, we don't know if he's a Tzadik or a Rasha. Lazeh Bavadai, so the Chafetz Chaim agrees that Ein Ani Mechuyev Min HaTorah L'Adon L'Kapsos. That's when there's no mitzvah to judge the person favorably. I don't know the person from Adam. I don't know if the person is observant or not observant. I don't know if the person is careful, is scrupulous with mitzvahs or not. I don't know the person at all. The person has no history. I don't know the person at all. Then it's a Midah Tova Ba'alma. Then it's just an attribute to go around, to go through life with a positive attitude and judge people favorably. That's when the Rambam says that it's just the Midos Chasidus, and that's when the Rambam counts it among the Midos of a Talmud Chacham. And the Rambam in Hilchos Deis also counts it among the Midos of a Talmud Chacham. It's only a Midah Ba'alma. He's speaking about this kind of a scenario where you don't know the person in question who you're automatically judging, formulating an opinion about. Teda. Now here was the diuk that we pointed out before. There's a subtle diuk here because the Mishnah in Ovis says Habidones kol adam nekafskos. There's a subtle difference. The Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis says Habidones kol adam nekafskos. You should judge everyone favorably. The mitzvah, the way it's phrased, is don es chaveroi lekafskos. You should judge your friend lekafskos. When it talks about the mitzvah, the chiyuv d'oraisa, it says you should judge your friend favorably. When the Mishnah in Avos, when the Rambam says that it's just an attribute, but it's not an actual mitzvah d'oraisa, he's using the words, and the Mishnah uses those words, that you should judge kol adam l'kapskos. So there's a big difference between somebody who you know, who you're makir, who you recognize, that you know he's at least a beinoni. I know that I'm an average person, you know me, I know you, that you're a tzaddik, the other person is an average person, so we know it's just an average person. So then you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to judge the person favorably, because you know the person, he's at least a beinoni. But when the Rambam is saying that it's only an attribute, that's when we don't know the person at all. And the Sefer HaMitzvahs also, that should be Kufay and Zion, he writes Behedya, that you're chayiv to judge your friend the Kapskos. So the Rambam himself, of course, agrees to what it says in the Gemara, to what Rabbeinu Yoina says, that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So again, that explains perfectly. Sometimes we use the expression chaveroi, and sometimes we use the expression kol adam. Sometimes we use the expression you should judge your friend favorably, and sometimes we use the more general expression you should judge everyone, every man favorably. The difference is, do I know the person or not? If I don't know the person, meaning the person has no history, I don't know the person at all, then it's just an attribute. But if I know the person, and he's at least a Beinoni, he's someone who's careful, so then it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to judge the person favorably. So we see from here that sometimes it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and sometimes it's a midas chasidus. Now, I wanted to explain these two levels of judging favorably a little bit al derech drush, but the message is a very powerful message, and it's grounded in the Maor Mikraimus. So whether this is actually accurately describe identifies the two levels or not, but regardless, the message is a true message, and it's something that the Rishonim say. What is the reason for the mitzvah of judging favorably? So I would say that the simple explanation is what it says in the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah reish lamed hei. Mitzvah sheyish bo tzedek. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is a Rishon, an early Rishon, and he writes there suggested reasons behind the mitzvah. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Gam demashe omarnu, she called Adam chayev ladan chaveroi lekapsvas. The reason why there's a mitzvah to judge your friend favorably, that's included in the mitzvah of Tzedek Tishben Amisecha, the Siba is that between people there should be shalom vareyas. It's a way of promoting peace and goodwill. It's a way that we can get along and work well together, one another. So the kavana of the mitzvah is to help, and this is all the Sefer HaChinuch speaking, b'yishuv b'nei adam. It helps for civilization. It helps that people should be able to get along with one another. Im yashur hadin, the losses b'neim shalom, im silo kachshad ish b'ish. If we suspect one another, we can't get along, and we can't function properly together. We can't maximize our relationship. But if we remove this suspicion, if we judge each other favorably, so then we'll be able to get along and we'll be able to work well together. And it says, we see clearly from the Sefer HaChinuch that it's a midah of gemilas chasadim ben adam lechaveri. And that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos there. It says that it's a subcategory of gemilas chasadim. Like we mentioned before in the name of Rav Dessler, that it's a sifkatan, it's like a subcategory of the mitzvah, a hafta l'reicha kamoicha. If we love each other, we'll judge each other favorably, and that's what we can expect from Hashem, that He'll judge us favorably. Now the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanis, in Reish Chaf Hei, writes a completely different reason for this mitzvah. Says the Sefer, the Mitzvahs Ketanis, he says like this, Ki bechlal zeh, included in this mitzvah, of a Tzedek Tishben HaMisecha, is Lodin Chaveru Lekapskos, we have to judge our friends favorably. Why? Because if we judge our friends favorably, now this is a powerful statement that the Smak writes, a completely different reason. If we judge our friends favorably, because then I'll view it that I'm the only one who's susceptible to sin. In other words, if I see everybody else around me sinning, so then it's much easier for me to do an Aveira also, right? We all have a natural busha. We want to fit in. We want to be in line with the standard. We want to be up to par with everyone else. If everyone around us is doing bad things, it's much easier for me to do something bad because I'm not worse than anybody else. Says the Smak that a driving force to judge other people favorably, not only to promote peace, but it's for our own ruchnius. It's for our own ben adam lamakum, our own avodas Hashem. It's because if I constantly am judging everybody else favorably, that means that nobody else is doing anything wrong other than myself. I'm the only one doing things wrong. Nobody else is doing anything else wrong. So v'yoshev the boirai. So he'll do tshuva pen yachriya kol ha'olam l'chayva. Because otherwise, it's up to me. I might be the one who's going to drag the whole world down. So the Smak here is referring to the Gemara in Kiddushin, and we're going to talk about this Gemara in Mitzvah Hashem more when we get into Elul and we start preparing for Rosh Hashanah. the Gemara says that you have to view the whole world as if the whole world is in a balance 50-50, and whatever I do is going to make all the difference in the world. Now, if everybody else, from my perspective, my perception, is already sinning, then it's a lost cause, and I'm going to lose a tremendous motivation to try to be good. But if everybody around me, in my eyes, are tzaddikim, that's going to force me to also to live up to that standard, and it's all tully in me. So it's really a help, a siyua in ben adam lemakom. Now in the Shalos and Shuvos, Maril Diskin, the Mefarshim bring that he says the same thing. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, one of the early rabbanim in Brisk before the Soloveitchik dynasty. So the Maril Diskin says the following: that Yatsunu, the Torah is advising us to dam lekafskus leman layimsalanu pesach bilvavenu. He says the same thing. I don't know if Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin saw the smack or not, but he was mechaven to the same thing. Because if we see other people sinning, that will open up the possibility in our own hearts, lifreitz derech busha. This will make a breach in our natural shame against sinning. But if we engrave in our hearts that everybody else is righteous, so how can I have to be brazen enough to burn the pot? It's an expression to sin. If everybody around me is keeping up the standard and serving Hashem, so I have to keep up with everybody else, I'll create for myself an artificial peer pressure that I'll want to be good as well. If I perceive that everybody else is serving Hashem, I'm going to want to serve Hashem as well. But that wouldn't be the case if everywhere you look, you can find what to criticize in others. Because otherwise, if we can perceive that everybody else is sinning and I can criticize everybody else, then I don't have to produce. I can lower the expectations myself. You know, that's what the psychologists say, that complainers, people who like to complain and like they like to blame their situation on everybody else, it's really just to excuse themselves. If everybody else is perfect and living up to par, then I'll have nobody to blame but myself. But if I can point out flaws and criticize everybody else, then that sort of like excuses me in my perverted mind to not have to achieve as much as I'm capable of achieving. So the Smak and much later on Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin of Brisk all say the same thing, that the purpose of judging other people favorably is to raise the bar, to raise the standard, and that way we ourselves will be forced, we'll have the busha, we'll have the shame to fall down and not live up to the standard that we see in others. So a person could go through life with a positive attitude, always seeing the good in others, wanting to emulate the good in others, or the person can always be pointing out the criticism, and he can always be pointing out the flaws in others, and that sort of will excuse himself from having to bring out his own potential, because he can always just say that I don't have to be better than anybody else. So it comes out that there are completely two different reasons why we have to judge other people favorably. One reason is because we want to promote peace and goodwill, and we want to go with a positive attitude to be able to get along and function well together. And the second reason is it's really for ourselves, that we should create for ourselves this peer pressure that everybody else is doing what they should be doing, so I should certainly do what I should be doing. So perhaps we can suggest that these are the two levels. The mitzvah d'oraisa is when we know the person who we have to get along with. We have to judge the person favorably because that's the ikar mitzvah of dan lekapskos, havidon is chaveru lekapskos, which is a sifkatan of gemilas chasad. On the other hand, if it's a complete stranger who I don't know from Adam, so then there's no gemilas chasad in there. I don't know the person at all. I don't live with that person at all. Over there, perhaps, the inyan of being dan lekapskos, which is a midas chasidus, it's not the actual mitzvah d'oraisa, that is to create in ourselves this positive impression that everybody else, I see positive traits in everybody else, and that would be a reason to inspire myself to raise myself up and to maximize my own potential. If I can look around and see negative traits or criticism in everybody else, So then that would lower my own standard in my own mind. I saw brought down that the Chazon Ish used to tell people living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Bnei Brak, that if you see cars driving down on Shabbos, so you should try to convince yourself that it's only a handful of people. Maybe the cars you saw this morning and the cars you see now are just the same people going back. To minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos that you're being exposed with, don't give yourself the impression that everybody's being Chilul Shabbos, right? Try to minimize it. And seemingly the Chazon Ish was referring to this Madrega of the Midas Chasidus of Rav Shaul Leib Diskin and of the Smak. So we should taka bizoicha. Everybody should have a good chodesh, a productive month of Elul. We should be zoicha that we should acquire this midah, this trait of being dan lekav schus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be zoicha to the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be dan us lekav schus. He should view us favorably as well. Even if we do something wrong, Hashem should see that we're trying. Hashem should put it in the context that it's judging us out of love, rather judging us out of strict justice. Yasha Koyach, everybody.
I also heard that from Amar Rebbeim, that so an inyan of sort of like a midah connected midah. If we're so tough on people.